You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And as I mentioned, our friend Jay Young from King Operating out in Texas joining us again. Jay, good to hear from you.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me again. How's everything going out there?
Well, not great. I mean, we're fine here in town, but when we talk about oil and gas, things aren't so good. You know, last time you were on with me, and I talk about this with the listeners all the time, to have the President of the United States, like, daily talking about what the appropriate amount of profit for somebody to make in oil and natural gas, you know, to say this is allowable, this is not. Now wanting to move forward with federal regulation and legislation to try to say what the percentage of profit should be, that can't help production. Although, I don't know, I'm just a hayseed guy from the Gulf Coast. You're the guy that's a generational oil man. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right, Sean. I mean, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing record profits from Exxon and the Chevrons and people like that. I mean, I'm not talking about just a little bit of money. I'm talking about huge money. But I'll tell you what's different this time than has been happening in the future or in the past and what's going to happen in the future. So what's happening is companies are making big bucks, and they would normally spend that money drilling new wells or go back to drilling. You know, they increase their rig count, and if increasing the rig count would increase their production, and then increasing the production would oversupply the market, so therefore your price would come down. This time, we're not seeing that as fast. Not that we won't see it, but in the future, you know, we're not going to have that big glut of production like we did before. And because that's what happens when, you know, companies make $6 billion like Exxon did the first quarter this year. Well, they spent $10 billion buying back their stock because of ESG and people on their board saying, we don't want you to increase the rig count. I mean, there was independent oil and gas companies, I mean, guys like me that had more rigs running than Exxon because they weren't drilling and they weren't going back, even though they had all this money. You know, and I think if Biden was, if he was smart enough, and maybe he is, you know, and saying to all these companies, hey, okay, if you're going to make all this money, let's put it back in the ground so we can oversupply our demand and we can get these gas prices down. Because that's what happened with Trump. You know, Trump said, drill, baby, drill. And when he did drill more wells and, you know, you drill, production goes way up. And then you're paying $2 at the pump. You know, Biden, he's just mad at these companies for making all the money. But what he should be is mad at these companies for not only making all this money, he should be mad at them for making all this money because it's a free world and that's how things go. What he should be mad at is saying, put that money back in the ground to drill more wells.
Right. Okay. So just joining us once again, talking with my friend Jay Young, founder and president of King Operating. Okay. President goes out and says exactly what you said, that they're buying stock back and doing all these things. And you point out that that is because of the number of ESG people that have gotten into these boards of these big oil and natural gas companies. So the president, in a way, is shooting himself in the foot, right? Because he believes in this ESG stuff, wants to get away from fossil fuels. At the same time, he's chastising these companies for, you know, buying back stock and not enhancing production. I mean, if you're sitting there at maybe not one of these ESG kind of folks on the board, but if you're a regular producer, what are you supposed to think? I mean, here the guy says, don't do this, but the overall policy is lower production. We're going to do something else.
Right, right. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is he's doing all, and he's been against fossil fuels since the first day he took office. You know, no permits, no drilling rights, no, you know, pipelines, no, you know, all this stuff, which was just a really bad way of saying, hey, we want to go green. We don't want any oil in the ocean. We don't want this. I mean, you know, we transport 100 million barrels a day around the world. And that's our demand is 100 million. Here in the United States, it's 20 million, you know, so that's what's going to happen in the future. I know you're going to ask me about what I think oil prices are going to do in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. Well, they're going to skyrocket and you're going to be paying more at the pump. Why? Because you've had a I put words in your mouth, Sean. Is that okay?
If they're good words, yeah.
I mean, we're not taped. We're not. I mean, we're not. We don't have an agenda here. I don't have any words in front of me. We're just talking. So I think what you're looking for is what's going to happen the next 2-3 months. And my opinion is we're going to go up in oil price. Why? Because, you know, we've been throwing these barrels on the market with OPEC and with the strategic reserves, and it's I don't know if it's a Ponzi scheme or if it's like musical chairs where, okay, here in about a month, we're going to be, you know, the music's going to be playing and we're going to look for all this oil. And then when the music stops, where's the oil? We're not going to have it like we did before because you had OPEC and strategic reserves. That's 3 million barrels a day that we need. And we're not going to have it. And when we don't have it and we need it, obviously price is going to go up. And that's what's going to happen in the next 2-3 months. And that's why I'm advising everybody, hey, man, read my book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. You know, if you want to do an outside investment, you can look at our company or any company. But read my book first because it tells you the good parts about investing and not. But if all you need to do is go buy a stock. I bought a stock, Ring Energy. You know, I bought it a couple of months ago for like $2.50. It's at 3.25 today. You know, so there's stocks out there at $3 that you and your listeners can just go buy. And I feel like that's a $5 stock in the next year or two. All because of the price of oil, where we're going and not going with this federal, with the Biden administration.
I want to come right back to that going forward. But something you've done on the show before, and if people didn't hear it, you talk about the 20 million barrels needed. Give us the layout today. What's the deficit? What we produce here inside the United States and what we have to bring in?
Yeah. Good thoughts. And that's what's the delta in between that. So we need 20 million. What President Bush said in his 2006 State of the Union address, he said, we have an addiction problem. We need 20 million barrels a day. And he said, we're having to buy it from people that are trying to kill it.
Yeah.
In 2006, he said that. Same number. Matter of fact, I think it's 21, 22 million now because the demand is going to go up and it's going to continue to go up for the next 10 or 15 years. This isn't a year or two before we go electric cars. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But we need 20 million a day. We're producing 13. Now we are coming back to work. I mean, there is a rig count that is increasing. It's about 75% of what it was before the pandemic. Rig count is increasing. Wells are coming in bigger. We're drilling a lot more wells. So we are seeing that number come up. But when you need 7 million barrels a day, let's just do the easy math. 20 million a day is what we need. We produce 13 in the United States. We need 7 from other countries. And when OPEC tells you no on 2 million barrels, go drill it yourself. You have the property to drill it in the United States. And you know, when Biden asked Saudi Arabia for barrels of oil, and they say, well, number one, you got the oil over in the United States to drill. The Biden says, I know, but I don't want them to drill it. And then number two is, you know, why do we want to sell you more oil for less money? You know, that doesn't make economic sense. You know, business class 101 says sell you more oil for less money. No, we'll sell you more oil for more money. And that's what they're having to do, is they're just going to start selling less oil to us for more money. So that's a problem. And especially, like I said, we've had this kind of million barrels and this 2 million barrels coming over, 3 million barrels that we're getting ready to lose. When we lose that, there's going to be other countries that are going to come in and just start gouging the price, and the price is going to go up and up.
Okay.
It's up a couple of dollars today.
And I want to get to that in a second. But the play from the Saudis, I mean, I get it. If they can make the same profit margin selling less oil, less of what they've got, I get their play. It seems strange that on both fronts, whether it's the president chastising American companies or oil companies to not make so much profit, or he's chastising the Saudis to do something that's not in their economic interest. In both cases, we're not dealing in the real world. We're dealing in some world where, well, this is what I want. You know, it's not what the market will do, but y'all should do that. So the long-term play here, it seems like if the Saudis continue with this and they're going to pull back, is there not, and you're talking about those big companies and the ESG issues, and we talked about that, but don't we fill in here? Don't we see people back in, my friends from here start working in North Dakota again? I mean, do we not, doesn't it bring that up? I mean, yeah. That price is bad, but it's got to spawn people to say, the heck with the regulations, we'll pay the money, we'll work around it, we're gonna produce because the money's there.
Yeah. Look at Harold Hamm. You know, he just bought back his company, the stock he didn't already own from Continental Resources. They went private because of what's happening. And it sounds like, oh, okay, let's go to drilling. And you think you start automatically. No, it takes a little bit longer. I mean, it takes prospects, which there are prospects in the United States, but then it also takes capital. That's the one thing that's been hurting us here lately. That's coming back. I mean, I read last night ESG is not making economic sense to companies. They're going, so why are we dealing with this ESG again?
Right.
You know,
right.
Why are we talking about it? It doesn't make economic sense. So let's just throw it out. So we may see some difference, or we may see some capital come back, because you need hundreds of millions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that Trump was really good at bringing to the market back, you know, by 8-10 years ago. He was real good about bringing that capital to the markets, because you need money and the markets have dried up. Hopefully in the next, 2-3 months, they'll start loosening up a little bit so we can start drilling for oil. And then if we have that money, we can do it. It takes people, the drilling prospects and money, and the money's starting to loosen up a little bit. So we may see something that's going to help us in the, maybe the second quarter, third quarter next year. We'll see prices starting to come down again. But until then, because you just can't flip a switch and all of a sudden start turning on oil rigs. I mean, oil production. It doesn't happen that quick. It takes – I mean, we're looking at a deal right now. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to drill a well right now that we started 6 months ago on just the planning purposes and getting everything planned. So it just takes time to get the prospect together, to get all the people together, to get the prospect, and where do you drill it, how do you drill it, and then you have to go find the money, and then you have to, it just takes it's a long process to get rigs to start drilling wells, and it just takes time, and hopefully we're going to come back to that, because that's, like I said, normally you would see this happen faster, but because of, the ESG and the markets and all the other things that's going on, we're not seeing it as fast, so. Now we will. So I believe that prices are going to soften. I don't know how far they will soften. I don't see it going below, $60, $70 a barrel ever, or maybe in 2035 when I'm out of the business or something. But it's just going to take some time.
But between now and then, Jay, so because we kind of danced around it a little bit. So between that softening down the road and today, you said prices are going up. Can you give us, in the J.R. Young crystal ball, where you see the barrel price, or where do you see the, price at the pump?
Yeah, no, I think we're going to go back to $5 a gallon. I think we'll go back to maybe even $6 a gallon first quarter next year. And then hopefully by the summertime, we'll oversupply the markets and we'll see that down. But, well, you're in Mississippi, right?
Alabama, yeah, right across the line, yeah.
Alabama, okay. Alabama, Mississippi, the good old coast. So you're seeing, prices that aren't as, like California's. California's still at $5 or $6. But you're around some refineries, so you won't see it. So hopefully you won't see above $5, $5.50, something like that.
That's still tough, man.
I do believe it's going to go up.
That's tough.
You got to get, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Hey. If all you can afford is a couple of shares of stock or something, go do something, because you need to do something out there instead of just sitting around, because prices are going to go up. There's nothing that the Biden administration has done necessarily to help the oil and gas industry drill more wells. He's made money for oil and gas companies because of not allowing them to drill wells. That's not good.
No.
When we take that money and drill new wells, that's when the prices come down. And that's what he hasn't been doing in a long time. And that's what we need to be doing.
Hey,
we need to get back.
Absolutely, but we got to get there. Like you said, for people who think that there's some switch, and you've told us over the years talking to you, there's not a switch. It is a longer process. So just because you say, okay, we're going to do something differently today, that doesn't mean that's going to be borne out in the price per gallon tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. It takes time. It takes a lot of time and money. That's what my wife says, right? Just takes time and money.
Hey, you know, while we're talking...
It does.
Well, we're talking about like price per gallon. I got to ask you, and you're on the production side, not on the refining side, but you have great insight here. What's the story with diesel? We're in a diesel shortage now. Why has diesel, do you know why diesel is in even less supply? Is there something on the refining side or what's going on?
Yeah, and I mean, up here, we're seeing prices kind of coming down on diesel. And, you know, there's a vast gasoline station across the street from me, and it's coming down. So I'm not really sure 100% about what all this is or how much of this is media or trying to find something else that's going on. I mean, a 25, 28-day supply.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I don't know, because, like I said, we're seeing the prices coming down up here, which you think they would be at $7 or $8 a gallon right now, but we're not seeing that. But,
around here, they stayed sticky. They stayed sticky down here, even when gas prices fell, you know, whether I was buying on-road or off-road diesel, I saw those prices kind of stay sticky here and not drop.
Mm-hmm.
And the shortage, you talk about 25 to 28-day supply. Is there a right number there? I mean, they throw that out, but I don't know what the right number is. How many days supply should we have?
What they're saying is that if everything went down, zero, 100% down, then there's a 25 or 28-day. It's like the strategic reserves. Well, we need 20 million barrels a day, and if we were not producing one oil and gas well and not getting any OPEC numbers at all, period, zero, we need 20 million a day. We've got, you know, what is that? There's about 200 million. There's like 10 or 15 days worth left. But, you know, what are the chances? What are the odds of us not producing any domestic oil? What is the odds of us not importing any oil at all from any of these other countries, especially like Canada, Mexico? I can understand, you know, maybe some of the other countries that, they've been trying to do things against us for years, but then for the most part, you know, we have more than 25 or 28 days. They just take that as a math problem and say, okay, if we don't get diesel from any refineries ever again, or they were all cut off, the chances of that happening are not very good. So,
all right,
we're okay. I think we're really okay on the production side for diesel. I don't think that's going to be as big a problem as they're saying in the press and the media right now. The big thing right now is people just need to realize that, hey, it's not going to go down anytime soon. It's going to stay up, and that's not going to be good for you, the consumer that's driving, that has to drive to work every day, that you have to find something else to do something, because it's not going to, like I said, it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Hey, Jay, one last question here, because I know we've run late here, but something you said before, and I've been trying to remember exactly what you said as we've been talking about the SPR, and you pointed something out that I had never thought of before, and you said, assuming that the total of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is all usable oil is not right, that there's some part of it that's not good down at the bottom or something. Can you revisit that?
Yeah. If you read my book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, Sean, I'll just send you one. Go on the website, hit something, and I'll send you a book, Sean. Just autographed copy. Matter of fact, the five people that call in for, go on the website, find the place where you can do it and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, and I want you to, if you're qualified for a deal, I'll send you an autographed copy of my book. But my dad and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, they would clean those tanks. So once oil gets in the bottom of one of those tanks, you know, the 210 gallon or a barrel or 300 or 500, you know, there's a lot of sludge at the bottom of those things. And I laugh because, you know, I think about my dad being out there, you know, growing up, and he'd be in the bottom of those things. It'd be 120 degrees outside, probably about 200 degrees in one of the bottom of those tanks. And he'd be out there and just chipping away and trying to clean out those tanks when you had so much oil in the, when you had so much oil there in the bottom. So it was really, really a bad place. And so probably 10 to 20% of the bottom is flush.
So, I mean, if we're picturing this big salt dome, right, these salt domes, and they've got the SPR in them, assuming that the entirety is usable, even though it's not a tank, now we're talking about, is So 10 to 20% of it could be unusable. So that number, when we say we got X number million of barrels in supply, that number should be reduced because it's not actually usable.
Right, exactly.
Man,
that cuts down our strategic reserves, which is not good for the economy.
That's for sure.
All right, John, I got to run, buddy.
Hey, Jay, I appreciate you. And we'll talk again soon.
Good.
All right, there he is. It's J.R. Young, founder and president of King Operating Corporation. And check him out. You want to get those books, go to jryoung.com. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.